This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Look right down any crowded hall. You'll see there's a beauty standing. Is she really everywhere or a reflection? One always calls out to you, the other's shy and quiet. Could there be two different girls who look the same at Sweet Valley? Sweet Valley High. Sweet Valley, Sweet Valley High.
Welcome to Pi Beta Alpha, the podcast in which we explore the strange and terrifying world of the Sweet Valley High TV series, episode by episode. I'm Anna Carey.
I'm Karen Moynihan.
And this week, Winston's dressing up in his little director outfit.
Yay!
Because it is time for Lights, Camera, Factions. Turns out it wasn't fractions after all.
Yeah. So, Amazon has it as faction. So, who knows? A disputed title, but there we go.
IMDb also have it as faction. So, okay. I think, sadly, Wikipedia is wrong. Oh, who could have foreseen?
For the first time ever.
Well, will you share the Amazon blurb?
I sure will. It is super short, as usual. It is simply, Winston shoots a student film and Jessica wants to star.
Oh, okay. Well, the Wikipedia one is a little longer, and it's short by Wikipedia standards, but it is longer than that. So it is. Jessica stars in Winston's student film and ultimately ruins it, in brackets, with help from Todd.
Oh.
Extremely accurate.
Very accurate. I'm going to say spoilery, but also you can see that's the way it's going to go from the beginning. So yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, not a real spoiler.
Not really, no.
And then there is also Devon tries to help Elizabeth lighten up. Now, we will have things to say about his methods.
Fucking Devon.
Oh my god. Or Dylan Whiteclaw, as I think
renamed.
I am looking at my notes and I just called him Dylan every time, and it was, oh no, sorry, the first time I'm looking at them I did call him Devon Whiteclaw. Okay. And I think after that I genuinely, this was not, you know, doing a hilarious joke to myself, I called him Dylan every single time. Every time, oh my god.
Oh no, I just wrote Devon every time because I found that whenever I shortened his name to D, it was just a total disaster.
Who knew what would come out?
Exactly. Anyone's guess.
Well, we begin this episode in the Moon Beach, where Enid, resplendent in yet another Baker Boy hat, this time it's a sort of olive green PVC. Can't imagine that's very comfortable in the California heat. She's surprised that Liz has bought a new calendar, because after all, she bought one last year.
Aha, yes, as Liz points out, yes, she did, and also the year before that, and the year before that.
So I'm guessing it's January now?
Sure, why not?
This season aired over the course of like a month.
Oh, that's true.
In 1997.
As incomprehensible as time normally is in these kinds of series, it's particularly confusing now because it's all just been condensed into like a week.
Although actually it could be a school like homework notebook, as we used to call it in my school.
Like a homework
and then
diary.
It would make sense that it was September.
Interesting.
Anyway, when they say calendar, it's not a calendar you put in the wall. It actually looks like a file of facts,
but it's kind of like
a desk diary.
A desk diary planner kind of thing, yeah. More so than calendar.
But apparently Jessica doesn't believe in calendars at all.
No, she doesn't need one. Apparently she never forgets anything.
But when Liz asks her where she left the Jeep, because Liz leads it later, Jessica just goes, I drove? Nicely delivered too.
Very nicely done, yeah.
But then Winston gets off the phone where he's been talking with great enthusiasm to somebody, and he's got some surprising news.
He does. So he's had a script accepted by the Rockwater Student Film Festival, and they're going to give him a grant to turn it into a student film. So like Liz is and Nina are both super excited for him. But Jessica is just like yawning, basically. She's like, ugh, there's just something so JV about student films. So she is just like markedly unimpressed by this whole thing and makes a big deal out of what not a big deal this is.
Yes. But Whitson reveals that his film, which is about a local boy serving burgers at a local joint, will be judged by famous critics Friskel and Ebert, who are obviously meant to be Siskel and Ebert.
Yes, very much so. Like, not even trying to hide that.
No. So, apparently these critics carry a lot of weight, which gives Jessica the opportunity to make the first of many fatphobic jokes in this episode.
Yeah, boo, don't like this.
There's some amazing, like, we cannot even describe how amazing things in this episode, but there are other things that are not so great.
Not great, yeah. These are the things that we do not enjoy about this show. There's few things that we do not enjoy about this show, but the fat phobia is up there for sure.
Yes, and there's some stuff about disability which would absolutely, it was, shouldn't have flown then. Absolutely does not fly today.
No, definitely not.
So, it turns out that Friskel and Ebert both wear hideous sweaters, I guess, like the original, though that's a bit harsh, and they can make or break a film career. And Jessica's still unimpressed until she learns that they're going to show the films on their TV show.
Yeah, they're going to do a special edition of their TV show. So, of course, Jessica changes her tune immediately on hearing this, that actually these things are going to be on television. So she immediately, like, produces a headshot out of nowhere.
Yes! Like, seriously, where?
Funny. But she just hands it to Winston and she's like, call me when you're ready for some star quality. And just like, the headshot is so funny because it's clearly a publicity photo for this series.
Yes.
As Jessica Wakefield. But she hands this to him and then kind of like walks away with a flourish. And she's like, oh, and by the way, I do my own stunts. And then turns around and walks straight into the door. And it's perfect.
It's very well done. Both the twins, by the way, are in very authentic sort of 90s version of the 70s patterned polyester tops.
Yes.
Liz is even wearing hers over a little cropped baby doll t-shirt and can't tell a lie. I'd have probably worn the same thing around the same time, so I can't mock her. Nope. So the credits roll and when we return, Liz approaches Devon Whiteclaw at his locker to talk about their physics project. And he's as professional and charming as ever.
Yeah, she says, you know, are you ready to work on this project together? And he's just like, nope. She's like, what do you mean no? And he says, no, I'm going to take my bike for a ride up the coast. Want to come? And she's like, no. So he's like, come on, Liz, you've got to take the time to stop and smell the... And she cuts him off and is like, exhaust? Because she's like, no, look, I'm way too busy for this. So like, when do you want to work on this project? He suggests tomorrow, but that's no good for Liz because she's booked solid all day long. She's got Todd's basketball game. She's got an Oracle meeting. She's planting orange trees with the Beautification Society, which I guess is like the Sweet Valley Tidy Towns. And
yes.
So she is just fully booked all day long. And Devon is like, oh, so like, when do you feed the homeless? And Liz, and it's very funny how Cynthia delivers this in fairness to her.
Yeah.
She's like, you know, depending on traffic, I should be at the soup kitchen by 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
So he's just like, don't you have any time for yourself at all? And again, she's like, yes, I have 5 minutes of personal time penciled in right now, in fact. She's so chipper and cheerful. Like, her delivery of this is so funny. She's actually brilliant here.
She is. Again, you know, a lot of the cast, when they get funny stuff to do, they really deliver.
Hmm. They're like, they're both of the twins have really good comedic timing, but it's always Jessica that gets the good lines and the one-liners and the funny moments, whereas like Cynthia is well able to be funny too. And it's a pity she doesn't get to be like this more often, I think.
Very true. I mean, who can forget the going to the rave episode? Her and Enid boogieing in.
Amazing.
So we cut to the Moon Beach, where Winston is telling the frankly unlikely duo to be sitting in a booth together, Enid and Jessica, about his movie, which is entitled The Man in the Moon Beach. And apparently it's a tale of logging and loneliness and unrequited love.
Yeah, so he's describing his opening scene, and we then amazingly cut to like a black and white shot of the Moon Beach with him behind the counter, and he's kind of describing the scene as we're actually seeing it play out.
Yes.
Where he's like, we meet the simple, down to earth girl who's captured the burger boy's heart, and she's come in every day for the last year and said the same thing. thanks for the fries. See you tomorrow. So there's like a random girl sitting at the counter while all this is going on, and like a waitress just in the frame as well. But Jessica interrupts him quite rudely in the middle of his big scene description.
Yes, because she doesn't approve of this dynamic. She says that if this girl is eating fries every day, it will be goodbye bikini, hello moo moo, and instead she should be having a salad with a low fat dressing. What a miserable existence!
Honestly, no way to live.
Also, when I was the same age as the cast, I was practically living on all-day breakfasts and chips. It's literally the only time in your life where you can get away with such an unhealthy diet without keeling over of a heart attack. So enjoy those chips, kids.
Indeed, get them into you.
But yeah, now I'm getting my cholesterol checked.
Oh, God.
And I'm not eating chips every day.
Gets to a certain point where there's just no turning back. But yeah, Winston is very visibly annoyed at this, which is quite funny because he's just like, do you mind? And then goes back to his scene description, and we cut back to the black and white. And it's funny because when Jessica interrupts, like even all the people in this kind of scene he's describing kind of turn and look at the camera like, huh? What?
So we learn that the burger boy finally gets the courage to ask out the French fry girl, but where he's about to say the words, but he changes his mind at the last minute and picks up a menu and says he just wants to tell her about today's specials. And we hear Winston's voiceover going, that was the day the young burger flipper realized she would always be the customer and he would always be the man in the moon beach.
Oh, well, Enid is very impressed. She thinks it's a beautiful story.
Yes, but Jessica is more into what colour lipstick she could wear for the role. But Winston says it doesn't matter because films are black and white. And not only that, which horrifies Jessica, but Winston pictures Enid in the lead role.
Yeah, Enid is surprised by this. She's like, are you sure? And then says that she doesn't have much experience, although she did play a sprig of arugula in her fourth grade production of, and amazingly, this title is Lettuce Romaine Friends.
Oh, very good.
But she kept getting upstaged by a crouton.
Aww.
And Winston says this is absolutely perfect. She's got the innocence, the naivety he's looking for. He's like, you are the French fry girl. So she's perfect for the role.
So Jessica's outraged to hear somebody else praised. So she asks Winston to look her in the eye and tell her that she's not perfect for the role. And he has no problem with this. But as he's looking at her angry little face, he sees her as the sort of surly waitress in black and white who, quite confusingly, given recent events, has an Amy name, the name Amy embroidered on her uniform.
Very confusing. Yeah. Because, yeah, Jessica's furious and she's like, well, I'm waiting. And as she says this, he then pictures her as the waitress. So he's like, aha, you are perfect as the waitress. So she's like, amazing, let me learn my lines. But then she discovers to her horror that the waitress doesn't have any lines.
Uh-oh. Well, we cut to the Casa del Wakefield where Liz lets in Todd. And as she does, as she opens the door, she realizes that she didn't go to his basketball game, which was one of the things on her schedule this week because she was off doing her charity work. And Todd isn't impressed because apparently it was bad enough that she blew off the pre-season banquet. Good Lord. But this is an actual game. Then he just goes, we won, in case you were wondering. And the sad guitar plays.
Yeah, I have to say, I was not a fan of Todd in this particular scene. I was like, she did apologise. And also, what's she supposed to do? Just spend all her time going to all his games? Like, she has loads on as it is. Like, fuck off.
Yeah. Though Todd is pretty hilarious later. So
he redeems himself, you see, that's the thing. So I couldn't stay mad at him for too long.
So we cut to the moon beach and Winston is all dressed up.
My notes are Winston in little director outfit. Yay!
Now, it's not as full on Eric von Stroheim, South Beach DeMille as his last one. However, it's still pretty good.
It's still, there's some nice director little touches in there. He's wearing kind of a loose kind of baggy blazer. We'll say he's got a white shirt. There's a little bandana tucked in.
Oh, sort of like it's a cravat.
Like a
I
cravat.
Think.
Yeah, yeah. It's great. He's got that little kind of light thingy hanging around his neck. He's got like an old timey film camera as well. I don't know why that's the kind of camera he's using, but it is. But it's a great little outfit all the same. So it's a more subtle little director outfit, but big fan nonetheless.
Yes. He's not waving around a riding crop like it was the last time.
Right. Oh, Jesus. I can't believe I forgot that.
So Jessica just glares right into his camera, giving him quite the shock, and says that Enid can't possibly play the lead. But Winston says she has the innocent charm that he wants. But Jessica says it's not about what he wants. He has to give the people what they want.
Yeah, she's telling him that he's risking his whole film career on Enid's apparent innocent charm. And then she goes, I can picture it now. Egbert's leading lady puts audiences to sleep. And she's like, is that what you want? To be laughed out of the film festival? And he's just like, what? No, she's kind of getting into his head at this point. And he's sort of backing away from her because she's being so aggressive. So she's like, I can't let you do this to yourself. I'm going to save your film. I'm going to star as the French fry girl. So he's kind of beaten down at this point.
Yes.
All right, okay, fine. So then she kind of turns around and she's like, now, since we're taking the role in a more beautiful direction, we should rethink the male lead as well. But Winston is like, nope, can't do it. I have to play the burger boy. And then fantastically, he goes, I was born to play the role of Winston Egbert.
He delivers it so dramatically too.
So
and then Jessica's like, the audience won't believe a guy like you could end up have a chance with a girl like me. And Winston, delightfully, hopefully, says, it could happen.
Yeah, Jessica's like, not on this planet. And my notes are like, you'd be lucky, Jessica Wakefield.
Yeah, you fucking wish. So Winston, who is clearly, you know, as you say, getting beaten down by Jessica's vehemence, mm-hmm. says that anyone who filled his shoes would have to be sharp and intuitive and know their way around a set. And then who should wander in but Todd?
Yeah, Todd kind of wanders in and like walks straight into a lighting rig and is kind of looking around like, oh, are you guys making a movie? And then Winston's like, or we could just cast Todd.
Nicely played.
Very good.
So we cut to later on at the Casa, and Todd is reading the script, and he's not sure about taking part in the film, because when he thinks acting, he thinks tights. And we've seen this school do Macbeth. I don't have a problem with such things.
Thing, yeah, but Liz thinks it's a good idea and that he could use some extracurriculars for his college applications because the only activity he ever does is basketball. And he's like, and baseball, but like, when Todd, come on,
be real. I mean, we've never seen that.
No,
so Todd is like, oh, remember what happened to Mick Evans from the which really sounds like a sort of like somebody's uncle. Does that sound like a Sweet Valley High character? Yeah,
no, it doesn't have the glamour for Sweet Valley High at all.
No. But anyway, Todd asks, like, remember what happened to Mick Evans when he played a role in that Shakespeare play? And Liz is like, yeah, as you like it. And Todd goes, yeah, I liked it just fine, but... And I'm sorry, it's like a Naked Gun kind of joke. But
it is.
That's why I love it.
Yes, it's that that kind of humour is so my weak point as well. And just, don't call me Shirley, like, I'm just on the floor. I love it.
Well, Liz is, apparently Todd, you know, doesn't have fond memories of this. But Liz can't understand why, because Mick got rave reviews and standing ovations. And Todd says, yeah, and he got like months worth of wedgies from his team. It's like, what a bunch of fucking saps.
Ugh, honestly. Yeah. Come on, guys. Get it together.
Like, he's literally the star of the school play. And that's somehow like... bad for a wrestler?
As if it's loser behaviour. It's not at all.
Baffling. Yeah. But Todd asks if Liz will come to the festival if he does it. And of course she schedules it in her diary.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, oh, and you know what they say about movie stars? And Todd says that they're shorter in person. And Liz says, no, they always get the girl. And they kiss, but not for long.
No, some like alarm on her phone or on her phone on her watch goes off because she's just so busy. She has everything scheduled down to the minute, and he kind of looks a bit impatient about this. But it's fine. It's fine. It's totally fine. She's got this under control.
Now, you're right. It is her watch, but I think my instinct was that it was her beeper. and she was being summoned.
Oh, I presumed it was
she got it set up. Yeah. But I think you must be right, because the way she reacts to it, I thought it was like somebody was paging her. But then later on, it is more like it's an alarm.
Yeah, it's like I think she has all these little scheduled alarms all set up like on her watch to give her like 10 minutes before she has to rush off to the next thing.
I mean, I guess you could do that if you had a fancy digital watch in those days. I just always had a Swatch, which was you could set up an alarm and an else Swatch. I still have one.
Oh.
So we cut to the school and Enid is running through her single line when Winston approaches and tells her that there's been a minor casting change. And
yes.
Enid is not happy.
No. So he has to break the news to her that she's the waitress now instead. And then as she's kind of grumbling about this, Jessica comes up in like full starlet mode where she's got like these cat eye sunglasses on. She's just like wearing this great pink outfit and she's like, I was counting up the lines and Todd has more lines than me. And Enid's like, well, at least you have lines. She says the waitress is basically mute. So just everyone's giving out and unhappy about their roles at the minute while this is all happening in the corridor in school.
Yes. And a desperate Winston reminds her that Holly Hunter was mute in the piano and then starts tastelessly talking about, other actors who played characters with disabilities, and Enid's not impressed. And Winston wails that he can come up with another disability for her. Dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. But as Enid storms off, Todd comes up and says he was up all night reading the script. Winston says it was only 10 pages long.
Yeah, and Todd's like, well, it's 11 if you count the title page.
So Todd can't believe that he doesn't get the girl in this film or in this movie. And Winston is like, well, yeah, because it's not about, it's about unrequited love. And Todd's like, yeah, yeah, that's fine. Just as long as they end up together.
Like, they've really taken Todd in this kind of affable meathead kind of direction, which is quite enjoyable, I have to say.
It's very fun to watch. I do not buy that Liz would still be with him. No. But
but I'm happy for the jokes, I have to say.
Yes. But he thinks it also needs some action.
Yeah, he says there's no fist fights, no explosions, car chases, not even a grease fire. And he points out that apparently Friskel and Ebert like action. And he's like, remember what their favourite movie was last year? And Winston goes, yes, of course. Die Hard 6, would you die already?
I mean, it might as, some of the Die Hard films at this stage might as well have been called that.
Like 1, 2, and 3 were fantastic. But after that point, has got to the would you die already full of things. So it really was a premonition of things to come for Die Hard.
Jessica says her character is so boring. All she does is just eat fries. And why can't she be a typical woman of the 90s? A karate master.
Yeah, so Winston has had it with all this bickering and giving out at this stage. And he's like, karate. He's like, I am a visionary trying to make a simple black and white film that comes from the heart. And I don't need explosions or karate to help me do it. I absolutely refuse to compromise my artistic integrity. But Jessica says that if he doesn't make major changes, she's going to walk. And then she grabs Todd's arm and she's like, and I'll take the entire cast with me.
And she grudgingly agrees. Wither poor Enid.
Oh my God. He's really complicated things for himself here.
Well, we cut to a classroom and Dylan is such a fucking arsehole. Like, he's such a little prick for the entire entire episode, really. But this scene, my God.
Liz is looking for her planner, her calendar thing. Yeah. She can't find it anywhere. She's kind of rooting around through her bag and Devin is like, oh, you're looking for something? Because he has it in his hand. So she tries to kind of grab it back off of him. He's like, let's toss the schedule and cut class. And she's like, are you crazy? But she says all this very loud in fairness and they're sitting in the front row of the classroom. So the teacher turns around from the blackboard and he's like, shut up, Liz. We're in class, pipe down, basically.
But also, it is crazy that he would say, let's cut class when you're in class. The fucking class.
It's a bit late now, Devin. Like, that horse is bolted. But yeah, she's he just keeps winding her up, though, all the way through, just being really annoying and kind of making her lose her cool with him and then getting the teacher's attention again. I can't remember the teacher's name. They do say it. Is Mr. Cohen possibly something like that?
I think it could be Mr. Cohen, yeah.
Yeah, he's winding her up on purpose, really trying to get the better of her. And she points out that if he keeps this up, she's going to get detention. And if she does get detention, she's going to miss the film festival. So she's already really annoyed, but like he does keep provoking her all the way through.
Oh my God, he's such a prick, because then he goes, oh, that would be such a tragedy. And then he puts his feet up on her desk. Like, he is just being, such a prick. Because he puts her feet up on her desk and she's like, I've had it with you. As well she might, because he's literally just harassing her all the way through this class and getting her into trouble. And the teacher is like, look, this is it, Miss Wakefield, you've got detention. And he just laughs.
Yeah.
Like, I thought he was going to say, this was my fault, sorry, and they're going to show, oh, look, he's a good guy, really. No.
No, he lets her take the hit for his feck acting around.
So later, an angry Liz storms up to him at his locker and says that he should have got detention. Yes. And she says she promised Todd that she'd be at the festival, to support him in his movie debut. But Dylan won't understand because he doesn't care for anyone but himself. And then her beeper or alarm goes and he's all like, oh, you don't want to be late. It's like, just push him into the lockers, Liz.
But then we do get a scene of her in detention, which is amazing.
Oh my God. Please describe her fellow detainees.
Oh, my notes, it's like Liz at detention with, and like inverted commas, bad kids, lol.
It's like bad boys and girls in inverted commas.
Oh my God, it's so funny. The best though is the guy sitting across from her. He's wearing this like cut off denim vest and like a spiky bracelet, carving something into the desk and eyeballing her. And my notes here were like, he is 40. Like, this man is so old for this role that he's playing. And it's just the way he's eyeballing her is so funny, because poor Liz is just so uncomfortable here. She's so not meant to be here. Like, this is all wrong, but just this guy was hilarious.
Oh, a delight.
Completely wrong, but just also... Oh. Though, right.
I mean, we'd be disappointed, to be honest, if the extra hadn't looked about 45.
It's if someone age appropriate was like, what is this child doing on set? Get them out of here.
Go to a real school, child. You'll learn nothing here.
There's no hope for you.
Well, we cut to the film festival and we see more of the Sweet Valley, well, I guess, region's trademark design skills with the banner.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Just the word art was word arting.
It certainly was, because it says, welcome with an exclamation mark. Mm. And then under that, to the Rockwater Student Film Festival. It's like, okay.
Yep.
Exclamation mark probably should be at the end of that sentence, but why not?
That might make sense and we couldn't have that.
Yes. So there's lots of paparazzi flocking around, and I have to say, the Sweet Valley gang look incredible.
Oh my God, they're so well dressed. Like, I never should have doubted Jessica, of course, but like, she's wearing this like off the shoulder black dress with this big feather trim around the top. It's sensational. Winston and Todd are in like full on tuxedos. Like, this is a big deal, clearly.
Yeah, it's way fancier than you would expect a student film festival to be. Considering they're high school students.
Like, it doesn't make any sense. It's all happening in broad daylight in the middle of the day as well. But look, we're here now.
Well, the paparazzi are all excited. Jessica's delighted because she thinks they're there to take snaps of her. But they're just there for Friskel and Diebert. And Robert Diebert turns up wearing a cricket jumper. And Jessica praises it and says, he looks great, but she always thought that Diebert was a big bozo, when he's like, I am Diebert.
Oh, geez. Yeah, so she's immediately off on a bad start here. Then Friskel turns up and starts giving Diebert shit because he says he's going to go get some milk duds. So she manages to insult Friskel too, because she's kind of saying to the pair of them, don't wig out, guys, and then looks at Friskel because he's bald and is like, yes. Well, maybe you should. So she's just insulting judges to their faces at this point. So it's not going well.
No. I do like that Diebert calls Friskel Frondome.
Yeah, actually.
I thought Jessica was going to say something about, that's what we call our school principal, but no.
Not so much.
So Edith asks Winston if he's nervous, and Winston's like, no, why should I be? And Edith's like, well, you know, there's all these big names here, including Babe the Pig. And, you know, they're going to see all these changes you made at the last minute. And what if it bombs? And Winston puts on a brave face.
Oh, yeah. He insists he's giving the people what they want. And then he's like, I hope. And he does look very nervous.
Oh. We cut back to detention, where a teacher goes in and delivers a note to the detention master, who is Mr. Cohen, mm-hmm. Who then announces that Liz, there's a family emergency, so Liz has to leave. And as she leaves, the 45-year-old bad boy says, oh, there's a shortcut to the parking lot through the tunnels into the school, and I'll show you.
She just ignores them. Look how rude.
Well, there were tunnels.
Yes, tell me about the tunnels.
Yeah.
Punk guy. I want to know.
There were tunnels under my college. And there were some that you could go through. Yeah, because it's a very old campus. And there were like wine cellars and stuff. But also there were tunnels all underneath. If you ever happen to go to, like Bruce Patman, if you ever go to Trinity College in the heart of Dublin.
Oh, of course, Trinity would. Yeah, what was I thinking?
Well, they opened up at one stage, the library in our very unglamorous, untouristy, brutalist 70s arts building. They opened up a tunnel like that went through stacks and you could go to another library through it. And it was quite magical.
That's
like
cool.
At the time, they rebuilt it and everything now, as far as I know. But it was mad. It was like, oh my God, we've suddenly got this like weird underground maze in our library. So maybe they've got the sweet chrome domes, ancient wild cellar and book stacks are all down there. Mm. Or a hellmouth. Who knows?
All of these things are possible at Sweet Valley.
Yes. But so somebody who did go to an educational establishment that was mysteriously full of tunnels, I just took this in my stride. I was like, yeah, of course there were.
Okay, see, I find this very mysterious.
I mean, I hope we find out more about them in the future.
We need an episode about this 45-year-old punk.
It's tunnel life. So Liz hurries out because obviously what would a family emergency be when your entire family have ascended into heaven like the Virgin Mary?
There's an emergency. Your parents have turned up. Oh my God, they're here.
And you've got a brother.
Whoa.
But she runs around the corner and bumps into Dylan and she's like, oh, look, I can't talk now. There's an emergency. And he's like, I'm the emergency. Because that's how you charm a girl, by making them think that admittedly absent parents are probably dead.
I know. It's like this would be a sweet thing for him to do if it wasn't for the fact that he's there because of her in the first place.
But he's like, I got you out of detention. Now let's go to the festival. Mm. And she's like, oh, I don't need you. But he reminds her that Jessica he saw Jessica drive off in the Jeep.
Yeah.
So unless she plans to hitchhike, he's her only option.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how far away this festival is, but anyway, they head off on the motorbike.
They sure do. Yeah. Yeah. It's all very unclear as to where this is or where Bridgestone or whatever the name of the place was.
Well, at the festival, a nervous Todd waits for Liz and tells Edith he needs help with his tie because he's wearing a bow tie. And Edith's like, it's a clip-on.
Yeah, it does. Well, I just need her, okay?
Aw. But unbeknownst to him, I guess a little bit down the road or something, she pulls up on the bike with Dylan and says, admits that it was actually kind of fun riding on the back of his steel horse. And she asks if he's coming in, but he's like, oh, it's not my scene.
Yeah, so she wonders why he did all this in the first place. And Devon says that he realized how that it was important to Liz. And she's like, okay. But he's like, you know, and losing his parents made him realize how fast life goes and that it's more than events on a calendar. You have to figure out what's really important. So Liz is like, okay, so what's important to you? And he just kind of gives her this like meaningful look and he's like, isn't that obvious? And then just puts on his helmet and rides away.
And then a delighted Todd spots her and they head into the festival.
Yes.
And when they do, we get a moment that I actually had to rewind and watch again because I thought I had finally lost it and was hallucinating.
Yeah, this was unexpected.
Yeah, it sure was.
We got back to, so it's like Friskel and Deibert are doing the Siskel and Ebert thing of like, there's a screen between the two of them. They're talking like into the camera. But this is how they're judging this competition, I suppose. Mm. And they reveal, yes, that that was R-O-W-D-I-E, Anatomy of a Pep Rally. And my notes just went, stop it. What?
My notes have about 10 exclamation marks and all caps, oh my fucking God.
Yeah, so in a fucking spooky turn of events, oh, after us literally last week discussing the spelling of rowdy and the rowdy mm-hmm. cheer that the girls were doing in Beaver Victory and being baffled by their spelling of rowdy, it turns up in this episode. Like, how the fuck has that happened?
And not only does it turn up, but we learned that rowdy, R-O-W-D-I-E, Anatomy of a Pep Rally, is a riveting documentary from Jefferson High.
Like, this is actually ridiculous. How does this keep happening with these weird coincidences between stuff we talk about in the main episodes and then shit like this randomly pops up? I don't know how we've aligned it this well. This is crazy.
I just think we must have magical powers.
Clearly we're magic.
That's the only thing.
The only explanation. It is wild to me that this happens in this episode. I mean, look, in the meantime, we have obviously discovered that rowdy, spelled I-E, is an actual cheer that is in use by cheer squads in America and has been for some time. But like, how fucking weird is that? We just talked about it in the last episode and now here it is again in the bonus. Like, that's mad.
But it was only one person who said it was Courtney Ski, who said in the comments that she was the only person who says that. She said, I was a cheerleader in the late 80s and we did that same rowdy cheer and I never even thought about the fact that R-O-W-D-I-E is not the way we spell rowdy.
Yeah.
But when people said they never heard it before, but it clearly was a thing.
It is. Like, I Googled the word rowdy spelled wrong and like YouTube clips of cheer squads come up. Like, it is a cheer that is still in use and it's just so funny that here it is again.
Well, with Jefferson High, no less.
Jefferson High, come on.
Like, the Cunt Factory still churning out the hits.
Still working away.
Yep. Well, what could follow that? It's Winston.
Oh boy, yes, they're introducing a clip from Sweet Valley High's Winston Egbert. So we're getting a look at Winston's film now, or at least a trailer for his film. But either way, it's quite a sight.
Well, it begins, still black and white, with Enid entering in a wheelchair with a blanket over her legs and a tray of food on her lap.
The waitress. The waitress is now called Abby. So they've gotten a different waitress uniform for Enid. So for some reason, there was two different uniforms.
I mean, I'm amazed this show had the budget to have two embroidered names.
I know.
But the camera pans across from Enid to Jessica sitting at the counter in a crop top. And Todd is behind the counter wearing a cut-off checked shirt over a vest. And we see the specials board, which announces that today's special is artistic integrity. But that is crossed out and sold out. It's written next to it.
It's such a fucking good detail. And I didn't catch it until like halfway through the scene. But like, oh my God, how good is that?
So the voiceover begins and it's quite something.
Oh, it's so good. So like a gravelly voiced man says, he was a lonely burger boy. And then we kind of get Todd's like inner monologue going, man, am I lonely? And it continues, living in a small, quiet town. And again to Todd going, man, this town is small and quiet.
I laughed out loud at that.
It's so funny. And the voiceover continues. We kind of see Jessica sitting at the counter in her fucking zebra print crop top. And it's, she was the spark that ignited the raging inferno of his adolescent desire. And then back to Todd's little inner monologue. Man, she's a babe.
And then Jessica says, thanks for the small salad with a low-fat dressing on the side. And the voiceover says, he was caught in a cruel cycle of unrequited love. He wanted desperately to reach out for her and hilariously touches sort of reaching out plaintively his arm.
Oh my God. It's so, and Jessica's face, she's just kind of looking at him like, I'm not, what, get away from me. Yeah. They're both so funny.
And then the voiceover says, until one day, all that changed. But it sure does.
Oh my God, and how? We cut to Enid, who like flings the tray away, pulls back the blanket on her lap and pulls out a machine gun. The film changes to colour and we get... Dad Wilkins is Winston Egbert. And like the screen pauses and puts up a big like Dad Wilkins in like red, like Street Fighter font. It's fucking brilliant. And Dad's like flipping a napkin around the place really fast, like he's going to use it as a weapon or something, but not quite. And again, the physical comedy here from Jeremy Vincent Garrett is fucking brilliant.
He is so funny.
So funny.
And then it says, Jessica Wakefield is the small salad with the low-fat dressing on the side, girl.
It's great. So she like grabs the napkin out of the air that he's now thrown towards her and like flicks Enid with it. And then Enid gets her own kind of little freeze frame with her name across the screen. But oh God.
Yes, her description. I mean, we'll share
it's,
it.
It's as, but, as yeah, as it appears or is spoken in the show, but like, yikes.
It says, Edith Rollins is the handicapped terrorist with a side job as a handicapped waitress.
Boy.
Really? Did you have to spoil the scene with this?
Oh, it was so fun until that.
No. And then Jessica sort of pushes her out the door as she wails, I'll be back. So at least she got a line.
Oh, that's true, actually, yeah. But Jessica's also jammed a big lump of dynamite in the back of the chair as she's shoved her outside the diner.
Oh, I didn't notice that. Oh dear. Yeah.
So there's a huge explosion. And then suddenly there is ninjas everywhere.
Jessica and Todd fight them off because Jessica is a master of karate.
Well, yes. Like any modern 90s woman.
I mean, this is kind of furthering our dream to have a Muppet... a Muppet Sweet Valley with Miss Piggy playing the twins.
That's so true. Oh my God. Yes.
So yeah, Todd and Jessica fight the ninjas. Todd flings at some throwing star.
Mm-hmm.
The voiceover says, in a world where the food is fast, but the prices are surprisingly reasonable, somebody's gonna get hurt.
Oh God. Yes. So then like the fight is over. All the ninjas have been laid across the ground, across the floor of the diner. And Todd has Jessica in his arms. He's kind of like dipped her down low and he's like, so how come you never tip me? And like he delivers his lines so hilariously badly. Like it's just, it's really, really good. And then Jessica says, because you never got my order right. So the voiceover says, if you want it all, you've got to be willing to shoot the moon beach.
For that is now the title of the film.
Oh God, and then Todd like looks directly down the camera and says, this time it's personal. And again, does it so hilariously badly.
It's
so fucking funny. It's
so
really
funny.
Good.
Yes, it is hilarious.
It really is. And the voiceover quickly then goes, a Winston Egbert film. Cut to black.
Well, then we cut to Debert saying, is there some landfill nearby or did that movie just stink up the screen?
Oh, God. Yeah, they reckon the only good thing in it was Enid and her inspirational portrayal of the terrorist. But they are extremely unimpressed with Winston's efforts.
In fact, they say that Winston could have learned something from Big Mesa's entry, The Lonely Guy and the French Fry Girl.
It was the winner, apparently. And it's a touching coming-of-age story about a burger flipper, which is way too much of a coincidence because someone clearly just stole Winston's original story.
Come on. Justice for Winston.
Indeed.
Well, we cut to the moon beach where a miserable Winston, they've obviously been watching the TV broadcast. He turns off the TV and all the customers kind of turn away in embarrassment like they can't bear to look at him.
Oh no. Then Jessica strides over and she kind of puts her hand on his shoulder and she's like, Winston, I know I've given you a hard time in the past, but I just want you to know you really blew it this time. And it's mean, but it's very funny.
It is funny. She's also wearing a kind of holographic shimmering crop top.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's amazing.
It's a sight to behold. But even she couldn't save this piece of shit, basically. But now she has a meeting.
Yeah, she's out of here. She's got a meeting with the director from Big Mesa, apparently, and she's thinking sequel.
Oh. So poor Winston looks genuinely despairing. And Enid, wearing yet another baker boy, approaches him and asks if he's okay.
Oh, but Winston is just like, ugh, I'm a coward. I gave up on my own vision. I made a movie that even I wouldn't want to see. And he then apologizes to Enid, saying he never should have taken her out of the lead role, and says, you know, with the reviews that she's after getting, she could easily be a star in Hollywood. But Enid isn't too gone on the idea, though.
No, she says her cousin Cletus works in Hollywood and it's a town where people beat you up and then kick you when you're down. And Winston's like, he's an actor? And Enid's like, no, he's a stuntman.
It was very good.
So Liz and Todd leave the Moon Beach and she asks her to be honest and, you know, tell it, was he any good in the film? Mm. And she, come on, Liz, just lie. It's like, oh, your hair looked good.
Todd is like, oh God, I know. I was terrible, wasn't I? I'm giving up on acting. But Liz says, he'll always be her leading man. And they're about to kiss when her alarm goes off again on her watch. So he's despairing. He's like, oh, let me guess, a meeting at the Oracle.
But she checks her schedule and it says that actually she has to stop and smell the roses. Oh. So they kiss and she just chucks her desk diary away. Where's
it gone? Throws it over her shoulder. Gone.
Yeah. If that was me, I'd be like, do you know what? Actually, I do need that after the confessionist embrace. I'm like, I'm just going to like scrabble around and find all the pages that have fallen out.
Rooting around a flower bed on her knees. I actually do have some meetings tomorrow. I do need this. But the gesture still stands, right?
So sadly, we do not get to see that. But we do get to see the credits because that was the end of Lights, Camera, Factions.
Oh my goodness. That, oh God, all the film stuff was pretty brilliant. Just Todd was fantastic. As Winston Egbert in his little Chuck Norris outfit. It was great.
The ROD. Wait, my God, I can't spell it either.
You can't spell ROD either.
Apparently. ROWDIE.
That's the one. That's the way we spell ROD.
That moment was astonishing. That is like put this episode right up the top.
Honestly, the scream I scrumped.
Yeah. Likewise.
I can't fucking believe that.
Well, Pi Beta Alpha siblings, did you share our cries of joy at this astonishing synergy, which is, starting to seem quite spooky now?
Truly, like, it is spooky. Honestly, I'm just like, it's getting weird.
It's getting weird. Yeah. Do share your thoughts. We always love hearing from you, our beloved Pi Beta Alpha siblings, and we really appreciate you supporting us. Mm. You would definitely enjoyed the right to bear midriffs. Photog Shan started off the tag yourself by saying, I am the bear midriff on a rando football player, hairy and never seeing the sun, until one day it's my time to shine.
Hooray. Plucky Insolence said, I am the two quotes Elizabeth needed from Mayor Santelli. Sweet Valley is the best place to live, and no comment in response to statistics on kidnappings, murders, doppelgangers, car accidents, and underage substance abuse. As we know, Elizabeth only ever writes about Sweet Valley being wonderful.
Vivian Shirley said, I am the grateful chair of the Water and Power Board, as I finally got to tell my partner about something interesting that happened at work.
Oh my God, so good. Princess Fiona is an ogre said, I am the Sweet Valley website designer. I am responsible for the news website. How to take over a Wicked Life website, the porn website, and cats website. That's all major interests covered, pretty much.
We can assume that they are the only websites available in Sweet Valley. Oh, yeah. I mean,
that absolutely checks out, yeah.
It wasn't until I read that it dawned on me that basketball website was very much in the Sweet Valley tradition of the most basic and obvious name for a business of some kind.
Oh my God, they really are just continuing the grand tradition of Sweet Valley naming. We didn't give it the respect it deserved.
So, I mean, we're giving it now.
Yeah.
There was a lot of love for the moment last week when Liz said, Todd, where were you last night? I went to Sense and Sensibility, and Todd saying, I know, I didn't have time for a double feature. Amy Yecker-Thomason said, I could see Ken Matthews making that comment as well. Now so can I. Before we were told Ken is going to do medicine in college.
Come on. Hillary pointed out, Sense and Sensibility in this economy. So funny.
And Fatog Shad said, I just saw somebody ask the question, name a fictional character who would stare at the eclipse without glasses. And then I came across this meme. And Todd would definitely be that person.
Honestly, this new incarnation of Todd, 100%. But I have to say, it's a very enjoyable himbo Todd that we're getting. Just the jokes are fucking top notch.
Properly hilarious. And again, you know, we just see how what a difference it makes when the actors are given material that enables them to show their comedic skills. And they always rise to the challenge.
They really do. Like, they're wasted being made surly like that, because I know they have it in them to be funny. And I feel like Devin probably has some good stuff ahead of him. We just need to get past this kind of bad boy bullshit. And I feel like he'll start delivering pretty soon.
Yes. Now, we did, I think it was it the... it was the previous week that we heard about the fact that Renata was really speaking Spanish the whole time. But she didn't appear in this one. In fact, this was quite a limited cast episode.
Kind of a skeleton crew, wasn't it? Yeah. Very few. We'd know Lila, no Cheryl.
No Manny.
No Manny, yeah.
We did get Dylan Whitelaw being thrown his weight around. Like, again, that actor is capable of doing, you know, having fun and has a lovely smile. So, like, I hope that the Sweet Valley, whatever insane creation crew was running it, that they do what they have done with other characters who we've got a lot of pleasure out of, and just bring the comedy. Thing.
I know. I really want to, like, skip to the part where he's just part of the gang and we're all getting along and we can all just make jokes now. And it's not this kind of like, oh, he's surly and now everyone's being surly around him because they don't like Devin.
Yeah. But,
like, no, I'm not interested in that. I want them to have fun together. Come on.
Well, we do have 17 episodes left.
That's a pretty good few, in fairness. Okay.
Yeah.
He's got time to figure this stuff out. We'll get there.
Yeah. So, Pi Beta Alpha siblings, let us know what you thought about Lights, Camera, Factions. Did you scream as we did?
Rowdy.
Did you make any terrible student films? What did you think of Shoot the Moon Beach?
Wow. Oh my God. I have to say, big fan of that trailer.
Oh my God. Yeah. There was a lot to love in that trailer.
So much going on.
So share your thoughts on it. Keep tagging yourself, because we do love
Please.
That.
It's so good.
We are, of course, on various social media at SVH Podcast. And we will see you all in the main feed next week. When? How can you have forgotten this?
Oh my God, I can't wait.
We're packing our rucksacks and we're headed off to find the treasure of Death Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that quite a lot of you are very excited about this.
Oh my God, I've never read these. I am also very excited. Yeah.
You've just heard me say the only thing I remember about them, which is Bruce killing a snake.
Exactly. And I can't wait. I'm so excited. I hope he, like, punches it like Jean-Claude Van Damme. I'm so excited for this whole thing.
I think he kind of did. Or maybe he strangled it. But it was quite violent. I remember being like, Jesus Christ, what's happening? But I very much look forward to discussing it. I hope it does turn up in the first book. Maybe they're not desperate enough to start murdering animals until book two.
They might have to work their way up to that. Yeah, fair.
But anyway, we'll be heading out to the desert sun for that in the main feed next week. But we will be back with you, our beloved Pi Beta Alpha siblings, the wind beneath our wings, who we very much appreciate, in 2 weeks' time when we find out what happens. When Devin It actually took me a moment to like, oh yeah, that's Dylan's
his actual name. Like, who's Devin?
Put him as Dylan, not intentionally, as my notes pretty much every time this week. But we will find out what happens when he and Liz get a little bit too close.
Ooh.
In a kiss is just a kiss.
Oh boy, sounds spicy.
See you then, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.